Come on, say joyful expectation of good. Joyful expectation of good. I want to tie that in with my thought today because I want to focus as we're talking about living life on God's terms. And I've shared a few quotes with you to help us recognize and hopefully get some understanding of not only what God does, but why he does what he does. And that's the difference between, when we look in the scriptures, between Moses and the people of God. Moses knew God's ways, but the people knew his acts. And all too often, we are navigating through our walk with the Lord based on his acts or what we think he's doing. And we really haven't taken the time, say taken the time. We really haven't taken the time to get into a place of intimacy with him that helps us to recognize, Sandra, how that he will help us to know why he's doing what he's doing. Yeah. There's a place in walking with him when he will help you to understand his ways around certain things. And it comes out of an intimate walk with God. It comes out of what I would say is keeping the right attitude about God when you're dealing with something or going through something that you really don't understand. We have said, and we continue to say, that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. How many of you can say that? Jesus is the Lord of my life. Now we know him as Savior, but Lord is something else. Savior is he saved us. Lord is we surrender to him. And in that surrendering to him, there's often things that he will require of us, places he will direct us, things that he will do for us, things that he will do with us, some things he won't do. And we have to be confident that as my Savior and my Lord, he loves me and he has the best intentions for me, no matter what. Joyful expectation of good. We've got to maintain a joyful expectation. The joyful expectation is connected to the right attitude concerning God and the things that's going on in your life. Now, as I've been talking about living life on God's terms, I've tried to be intentional to help us recognize that often life has a way of taking over. And we are living our lives as believers, but we're not living them based on God's terms. We're living them based on life's terms. And it's like a wrestling match internally, a wrestling match mentally, emotionally, that we go through in order to stay in the place of walking in the unforced rhythms of grace. Meaning, life will push you right on past purpose and destiny. Life will push you into some situations. Some things happen based on the choices that we make. And we have to live with the consequences of that. But God is able to take all of that, work all of that for good. And he never, ever loses sight of the very reason for which you were born. He never, ever loses sight of what it is he placed on the inside of you that he still desires to bring to pass. What happens is, often is, you and I get cloudy about it. When we don't understand God's ways, a lot of times we'll make something final when God says it's just on pause. And we do that because we live in spaces where we need to be comfortable and we need to have some sense of control around what's going on. But this life of faith, this place of faith, there's always going to be that element of the unknown. And that's what you and I have to continue to surrender to God as we are pursuing him and pursuing the best life that he has for us. And it doesn't matter what your age is, no matter where you find yourself, there's still something God wants to do in you, something God wants to do through you, and he wants to manifest himself in your life, in this season of your life, no matter where you find yourself. And so I've shared and I talked a little bit about the statement, we are in a constant state of divine transformation. Now that transformation takes place because you are allowing the word of God to work inside you. I am on this very, very, very strong conviction, Pastor Nina, that something after a while, what you talk about ought to line up in your life. It ought to be evident in your life. People ought to be able to see your faith being evidenced. It's Frederick Casey Price out there at the Faith Dome out in California. They have this theme song, Evidence. Evidence, evidence. That's just the essence of the song, evidence. Meaning there ought to be some evidence. As a matter of fact, that's the relationship that Moses had with God and God had with Moses. That there ought to be some evidence to back up that you are God and that we are your people. There's this divine state of transformation that as you walk out your salvation, your life is supposed to be changing, meaning it's supposed to start looking better and better and better. Like all the amens over here, like give me two or three amens over here on this side. Okay, thank you. Just holler out every now and then. Yeah, it ought to start looking better. And if it's not, listen, it's not on God. It's not on God. When things weren't adding up for me, adding up in my world, I couldn't point to God and blame God because he pointed me and says you. And then I'd have to reckon with the fact, what is it that I'm doing? What is it that I'm not doing that's causing my life to keep looking the same way, even though I love God, even though I'm serving God, even though I'm walking with God, even though I'm talking with God, even though I'm quoting the scriptures? What is it that's keeping it right where it's at? Because you see, part of living life on God's terms is everything lining up with God's word. Yeah, I'm just waiting for just a little bit more response right there on that. Thank you. Because the world is looking for the manifested sons of God. That's every born-again believer. The world is looking for us. It's as we live life on God's terms that allows them to see something different about your life, my life, even though we're dealing with some of the same things that everybody else is dealing with. It's in Exodus 13, so God leads them out of the wilderness, but he leads them in what looks like a dead end. And I said this on last Sunday, it's hard to appreciate what God delivers you to when you have no knowledge of what he delivered you from. But now we're back to joyful expectation of good, meaning I don't really understand why you would have me go this way, but I know your intentions for me are good, so I'm not going to question your intentions. Because I also shared this, our inability to comprehend God's ways can lead us to doubt God's intentions. Now, God loves you, loves me. Settle that. Settle that. If you can settle that, you can handle the rest. But our inability to comprehend God's ways can lead us to doubt God's intentions and mistake a detour as a final destination and a delay as a denial. But God will sovereignly walk you and I down a certain path because he knows if you go down that other path, you're going to be more challenged by that than what you're facing in the direction that he's taking you. And one of the things I love about God is this. He will never take you down a path that he hasn't already readied you for it. He will not take you down a path that he hasn't already gone before you, no matter how dark it is, no matter how bad it looks. He's the one who's already gone before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's what I love about the word. You see, in the early church, I'm talking about when we read in the book of Acts, they didn't have the scriptures we have. So we get to read and we know the end of the book. We know how the story ends. But it was unfolding for them. And you have to recognize that they lived in a culture and in a time when their very lives were at stake. That's why, you know, we talk about home groups, you know, and that's great. But you have to know this, the home groups they had were totally different. They weren't having home groups because it was cell groups and time to connect. They had home groups because they knew if the word gets out, we meet and we all did. That's how home groups started, y'all. That's how it started. It started out of a need. It started out of their being the need to come together and to do it in a way that kept everybody safe. God leads them through the wilderness in order to prepare them for where he wants to take them. But they end up making some choices that put them in the wilderness for 40 years. And I want to talk about that a little bit over the next few moments, because when we talk about living life on God's terms, when you get it wrong, it's going to cost you. And I'm talking about our attitude. I'm talking about how we perceive things and what we say about God, what we say about the Lord while we're going through it. Sometimes you stay in the situation longer because you're not talking right. We speak, we talk about faith-filled words, speaking faith-filled words. And I'm telling you, you have to discipline yourself to manage what you say and what you allow to be said to you. Let me say it again. You have to discipline yourself. You got to discipline your mind, discipline your mouth. And it's down to the very little things, the very small things that make the difference. Because as you speak it, so it will be. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Through our words, we can speak things into existence. We have the same creative power that our God has through the words that we speak. Your words have the ability to frame your life. What are you saying? What are you allowing to be said to you? And it has to be a discipline. It has to be a discipline. And you can't get caught up in what people are going to think about what you're saying or what you're keeping them from saying. Or you'll miss it. We'll mess you up. It has to be the little things. This past weekend, on Friday, some friends, Pastor Maurice and I were in town. They wanted to come by. They said, "Where's your church at? Where's your church at?" I said, "It's at the embassy." I said, "How do we get to your church?" I said, "Well, you got to come to the embassy." "Are you at your church?" "No, I'm at the embassy. Because I'm up in my office." Just that little. So when they got here and when they walked in, and I said, "Yeah, we closed on this property in January." The first thing they said is, "You own this?" I said, "Yeah, we own all of it." Because their mindset was, we're a church renting space, leasing space in somebody else's building. So we began to walk through it. And then when we sat down and we were talking, she said, I noticed how particular you were about what you said. I said, "Yeah, I learned that. I learned that over the years, to be very particular about what I say and what I allow to be said to me." See, it's okay when somebody's talking wrong to say, "Don't talk to me like that. You can't talk to me that kind of way. I don't receive those words." Come on. "I don't receive those words. I'm not taking them in. Matter of fact, I'm going to say something to nullify what you just said." I was flying down to Atlanta week before last. Got on the plane, sitting there. Pilot comes on. He says, "I just want to let you know, it was a pretty bumpy ride coming up, and I'm expecting it to be pretty bumpy going back. And I just need to apologize ahead of time." As soon as he got done talking, I started talking. I said, "God, Jesus, Holy Ghost, Mary, Joseph, everybody." I said, wait a minute. I don't know what he's talking about. I said, "But here's what I want to say." Now, I'm telling you. And I sat there in my seat, and I began to talk out loud. And I didn't talk out loud like, you know, everybody could hear me, but I talked loud enough so I could hear myself. And I began to put words in the atmosphere. I said, "Father, I thank you for a smooth flight. I thank you that the airways are clear. I thank you that any turbulence will be minimal. I thank you for the angels that are on assignment right now, clearing the airway. See, the pilot even said, and so I need you to know that I've asked the attendants not to get up and serve because we probably won't be able to serve any snacks. I was like, doggone it, I'm gonna get my snacks. I'm in first class, I'm gonna get my snacks. I said, okay. Plane took off. No turbulence. Smooth. Flight attendants got up, brought out the snacks. Ate the snacks. Plane landed. No turbulence at all. Now, I just happen to be one of them people to believe that I got that kind of contact. I got that kind of influence. I got that kind of connection with the Father. Okay, anybody else think closely, minutely closely to that? Because you see, that's the place that we're supposed to be in. And you have to be willing to manage what folks are saying and what you say. Because here's a reality, if you have this quote back there, put it up. We are not only affected by our own attitudes and the choices we make, but many times affected by the attitudes and the choices of others. God, in his infinite mercy and grace, divinely determines the outcome. Let me say it again. I'm just going to go about 10 more minutes, and then I'm going to get us out of here. We are not only affected by our attitudes and choices we make, but many times affected by the attitudes and the choices of others. God, in his infinite mercy and grace, divinely determines the outcome. Pastor Deborah, you typing that in? I'm going to say it one more time. Okay. We are not only affected by our attitudes and the choices we make, but many times affected by the attitudes and the choices of others. God, in his infinite mercy and grace, divinely determines the outcome. So, if you're taking notes, let me give you just a short phrase that kind of sums that all up, and it's this. The company you keep will determine the destiny you reach. The company you keep will determine the destiny you reach. Yeah, somebody needs to hashtag that and just like get it out there. Y'all on your phones. I see you. I see you playing them games. But go ahead and text that out while you're doing it. Was that funny, right? Yeah. The company you keep will determine the destiny you reach. That's why you and I have to be very intentional. Now let me show you what I'm talking about here very quickly. So we are familiar with God brings them out of Egypt. He brings them to the promised land. Moses sends out 12 spies. He sends out the 12 spies. They go out, they spy out the land for 40 days. When they come back, they all have their perspective. Say their perspective. And listen to me, the perspective you always want first and foremost is a kingdom perspective. And then you need to press into God, how are you viewing this? That's the perspective you and I want. That's the perspective that we need. They go out and they come back. 10 give the negative report. 2, Caleb and Joshua give the, well, when they give the report and tell them about the giants in the land and we're like grasshoppers and got everybody scared, Caleb jumps up and says, hey, we can do it. Let's go right now. Now, you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to speak over everything that was just said, okay? He's trying to nullify all of that. And I want to tell you this. There are seasons in your life and mine when we're living life on God's terms when you're going to have to be able to navigate through that. Because with God, with the kingdom of God, the majority is not always the rule. Is this making sense to you? Don't get stuck on, well, everybody's going that way. And there's times when you're going to feel like you're really standing alone. But you're not. If it's you and God, that's all you need. That's all you need. And Caleb is saying, no, we can do this. What he's trying to do is he's trying to get the people away from the negative that they've heard that's been spoken to them. And so they did not go in. And then it says this in Numbers 14, 1 through 4. It says, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. Now, what has happened is this. They decided not to go in. Then they decided they're going to try to go in anyway. When you're living life on God's terms, you do have to recognize timing is key. Yes, right. Timing is key. I want to tell you that I believe that there are seasons of faith, seasons of grace, seasons of favor as it relates to certain things. Now, you have a level of faith that you walk in all the time, grace that's operating in your life, favor that's operating on your life. But then there are seasons when that is exponential, meaning that in this season, the grace is there, the favor is there, the resources are there to accomplish it right now. Say right now. And so when they went with the report of the 10, basically they were saying, we don't believe God can do this. We don't believe he has our best interest in mind at heart. What they're doing is they are doubting God's intentions. Now, it goes on and says this, that night, I'm at Numbers 14, verse 1. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly, and they said, if only we had died in Egypt. Now, I want you to notice, they're saying this. They're not thinking this. Hear me now. Safeguard. You can think a whole lot of stuff. Just don't let it come out your mouth. God knows everything about us. He knows what we're thinking. But some stuff you need, as I heard a long time ago, it don't make sense. I know it ain't true, but they say shut mouth grace. You ever heard somebody say that? God gave me shut mouth grace. None of y'all? Mom, you heard that, ain't you? And maybe that was just back at Bible Way. I don't know. Shut mouth grace. God, give me shut mouth grace. No, you don't need shut mouth grace. You just need the discipline to not say certain things. You can think a whole lot of things. But they said, if only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken away as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. My God, how many of you know how tragic that is? Because hear me, saints, and I'm talking to those more particularly now, I'm talking to my heirs family. Just stay with us on this. Stay with us on this. We're going to get on the other side of this season in just a moment. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We came into this. We came into this year, we came into this building fighting. Our first service in this building was sending Mother Napier off. That was the first service, the very first service. The next Sunday, we had the service. The next Sunday after that, snowstorm. Next Sunday after that, snowstorm. And it's been one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. And we're sitting here now, and you got your coats on and your gloves on. And it's easy, hear me now, it's easy to start kind of going the direction of these folks right here. It would have been better had we stayed on Princeton Road. It would have been better had we stayed on the corner of Crescentville and 747. It'd have been better if we'd have just stayed at the school. It'd have been better had we just stayed in the house. Yeah. Yeah. It would have been better for us. It would be better for us to go back to Egypt. They're talking about going back to bondage. And so what we have to manage, if we are going to live life on God's terms, is we're going to have to manage our thoughts, and we're going to have to manage what we say. And you're going to need to settle. You got to settle this. You got to settle this, that when God calls you, when God positions you, when God sets you in a place, no matter what you're dealing with, do not doubt God's intentions concerning you. Don't do it. Don't do it, guys. The moment you do that, you set yourself up. The enemy now has planted a seed. He has you doubting the very one who can set you free, doubting the very one who can deliver you, doubting the very one who has sustained you, doubting the very one who is blessing you, doubting the very one that can get you on the other side, doubting the very one who has purpose to bring good into your life and bring good through you. Because you have to know this, and I'm closing on this thought. So musicians come up, team come up, and joyful expectation. We're ending right there. Because here's the point. Here's my closing point. There will be consequences for not believing God. And there will be consequences for complaining. There will be consequences for not believing God and consequences for complaining. I sent out a letter a couple weeks now, and I said to you all, I said, I'm not discouraged, but I am concerned. And see, a lot of leaders won't really put their heart out there like that. But I've always been transparent, and I always will be. And I said, and I shared my heart around what things look like. But one thing for sure, if you go back and you read that, I made it clear in that writing, and I keep making it clear, I am not doubting God in this at all. I am still just as sure as when we signed those documents. And you have to know this. Everybody who's endeavoring in this season to move into the thing God has for them, it's in a battle. I was talking with Bob. Bobby drove here through a tornado. Literally. U-Haul truck and his car on the back, and he's stuck on the highway. He said, I don't know what's going on, but found it was a tornado. Did you say some trucks got overturned? 18-wheelers got overturned? He's making his way up here so we can open up this healing center. Dr. Houck and his wife coming in their RV, their coach. Something goes out on the coach. They got to stop and pull off. It's got to get fixed. He gets here, and we're talking on Friday or Saturday. He said, man, we're in a war. I said, you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you understand that. And I want you all to understand that. Because in the midst of the battle, you don't want to doubt God, and you don't want to murmur, and you don't want to complain. Right. When the people of God started talking the way they started talking about God, the same God who delivered them out of Egypt, the same God that parted the Red Sea, when they started talking the way they started talking. Now you have to go back and read that for yourself. I don't have time right now. Go to Numbers 14. When they started talking the way they were talking, God says, I'm done. I'm just gonna wipe everybody out. And I'm gonna start all over. Other than Jesus, Moses was probably the most effective intercessor ever, other than Jesus. Because he got them folks out of one mess after another. And when God said, I will just wipe them all out, not only was Moses a powerful intercessor, he was a strategic negotiator.
Amen.
Because he starts to talk to God and he says, now, wait a minute. I know you're upset. He says, but what are the people going to say if you kill everybody? They're gonna say that you didn't have the ability to bring them into the land, so you brought them out here to kill them. This is how Moses is talking to him. One other time, God says, I'm done. And God says, I'm gonna send you forth and I'm gonna send an angel with you. And Moses said, hold up. The only thing that makes us different than any other nation is you, is your presence. If you don't go, we don't go. Now I want you to hear me. This place will be filled soon.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
That's good. I appreciate that. But hear me now. Hear me now. Because I'm not saying that for applause. I'm setting something in the air, and I'm setting something to make it real clear right about now. All of my life, there's only one thing that has always been the defining factor for me, and it's been his presence. The day that I walk in here on any given time and I don't feel his presence, it's time to do something else. But what we experience every time we gather is the confirmation that God is with us. That's a good time to clap right there. Yeah, you can go ahead and clap there. Now hear me. Because when people can come, and Pastor Kim, she said, I love this atmosphere. I love this. I love the presence. When people come and they experience it, you know God is moving. See, it's not about just singing songs. Y'all know that. Our team, we know that. It's about his presence. Moses says to them, says to God, you can't do this. And after his interceding, this was the Lord's reply. I have forgiven them as you ask. However, I have forgiven as you ask. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promise an oath to their ancestors. But I forgive them. Forgiveness, consequences. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Contempt, contempt, contempt. If you keep talking, I'm going to hold you in contempt. Y'all seen that before? The judge, the movie. If you keep going, say one more word, I'm locking you up. You'll be held in contempt. What does that mean? A willful disobedience to or disrespect for authority of a court. A willful disobedience to or disrespect for someone in authority. He says, I will bring, he goes on and says this, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land. His descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, he says, turn back tomorrow and set out towards the desert along the route to the Red Sea. The Lord said to Moses, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard their complaints and these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. Living life on God's terms, you got to be careful now for what you say.